is going to be when you get older. I mean, is it okay with you if your kids decide where you're going to live?
My kids? Are you ready?
Are you kidding?
Or perfect strangers choose who will be taking care of you?
Not gonna happen.
No, Better visit longtermcare.gov, the trusted information site that helps you find your own path forward without selling you anything. It takes you step by step through everything you need to consider about aging and all your options. Longtermcare.gov. Stay in charge by planning now or pay later.
How about a mohawk?
How about a mohawk? How about I put my foot right... Oh, hi, honey.
Take charge of your college experience. The HFC Student Activities Office can help you connect with or start a club, plan and promote events or fundraisers, or even find volunteer opportunities in our community. The HFC Student Activities Office operates 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Thursday in the fall and winter semesters, and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Thursday in the summer semester. You can find the HFC Student Activities Office on campus in the M Building or call 313-845-9865. That's 313-845-9865.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
Good afternoon and welcome to this June 30th edition of the WHFR Journal, the last edition, the last day of the month of June, in fact. And we will be then kicking off the start of our 4th of July holiday weekend this weekend as well. So we wish you an early happy 4th of July. Hope it's safe and pleasant and wonderful. If you're going to be celebrating around the water or with fireworks, things like that, do be cautious. We want to have you back again next week. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the best 4th of July snack with our friends at Public Radio Exchange. In addition, we're going to talk about teaching kids about voting. This is Independence Day that we celebrate for 4th of July after all, and you can't have independence without that right to vote. So it's never too early to start encouraging and showcasing the value of the exercising the right to vote with our children of today. So that's coming up a little bit later in the show. But the event that we want to kick off with is called Metro Detroit Youth Day. It is the largest youth event in Michigan, celebrating, in fact, 39 years of bringing together young people from all walks of life for a day of activities and sports and scholarship possibilities and college showcases, and most importantly, an opportunity to showcase that students are valued and respected and that the community cares about them. Well, this event was founded by Ed Deeb, as well as the late Tom Fox and the late Jerry Blocker, formulating over really just bringing Metro Detroit youth together for this wonderful day. It is taking place July 12th on Belle Isle, and it's not too late to get involved. We want you to participate, and so we're going to share some details about that. Earlier in the week, I had the pleasure of talking to Mr. Ed Deeb himself, again, founder of this activity, this event, which has grown to be just truly the biggest event in the state of Michigan like it. So let's jump into the interview with Ed Deeb, talking about Metro Detroit Youth Day 2023.
We are interviewing today the founder of Metro Detroit Youth Day. And you probably know this man from about a million other different things because he has had a place in the history of Michigan, not only as a journalist, 2014 inductee in the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame, but so involved as an honorary everything, the one and only Mr. Ed Deeb. And Mr. Deeb, it is such a pleasure to have you here today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You have just really touched so many people in so many ways profoundly, particularly as it relates to making life better, making things better for people. I understand your sort of motto, as I've been reading just wonderful things about you and knowing your name for many years, is called your motto is sort of being a champion of others, champion for other people. Now, as we talk about Metro Detroit Youth Day, which is coming up on July 12th, we want to find out what this is all about. What? How did it get started, and what should we expect to happen?
Well, this all started
approximately 35 years ago. There were all kinds of things going on in the city of Detroit with the kids getting out of school. They weren't going to school, creating a lot of trouble. And I was dealing with Coleman Young. Coleman Young called me and he said, hey, he says, what's going on here? We got all these problems. I said, well, let's do something about it. So we decided to come up with a program to bring all these kids together and let them know we know what they're doing and how can we improve that. So we started Metro Detroit Youth Day. That was a day they all had to get together and do things, stay out of trouble, invent things, go back to school, all of those kind of things. And we started getting all kinds of awards for doing that because all of a sudden they calmed down quite a bit. And we were happy about it. But then all the football players at the Detroit Lions wanted to get along. Everybody wanted to be part of this thing. So that's what happened. And we're very happy, and it's grown over the years. Now, we're going to have our 39th anniversary coming up. It would have been actually the 41st anniversary, but the pandemic prevented that from happening. So with my background in the food industry, and we dealt with all these people here, and they wanted to support us, well, then we had let them go ahead and do that. And we're very happy about it, and we hope that the community is happy about it because we're still doing it, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the community is very happy about it. More than just a day of sports and fun, as you indicated, it really does mean something deeper. It sounds so logical when you say it like that. So
gosh, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I think we have our other party just walking in now, too.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, that's just great. So I think we're going to be joined also by Dr. Barbara Jean Johnson, who will be sharing some a little bit of background. And don't we just love radio?
I give you the background. Now you can ask her a lot of questions.
Well, there you go. Well, Mr. Deeb, I've actually got another question for you. You are, you're just iconic in not only the state of Michigan, East Lansing, with all of the connections to Michigan State University. The one question that a couple of people had when I was saying I was going to be interviewing you was, do you still play the clarinet? We just wondered.
I do play the clarinet. It got me through college, as a matter of fact. And I enjoyed that very much. It gave me a scholarship in music, and that got me through school. So, I do play the clarinet, not as much as I used to, but I do practice. One of these days, I got to get her with me because she's a pretty good singer herself.
Little duet forming there. Welcome, Dr. Johnson. We have heard a little bit about how this important day got started and picking it back up after the pandemic. So important for the youth in our Metro Detroit communities. What should family members, parents, those that are interested in connecting their children to this wonderful activity, what should we be prepared to do? What do we need to do to connect so that everybody that wants to participate on July 12th at Belle Isle Park can do so?
Okay, thank you very much.
You want to start that one?
We certainly encourage people to come out. We encourage families to bring their children out. It's a wonderful day, and as it was designed to be, a day where children can be children again. The children can come, relax, not afraid of anything. There's so much stress and tension on young people today. And that's one of the things that Metro Detroit Youth Day stresses, and the things that we plan around that helps them to just be able to run free, to have all kinds of games, exhibits. We have entertainment on the stage. We have College Row. Young people find it very helpful to come, and they're excited. And they have giveaways. They have a pie eating contest. I mean, it's an all-around thing for young people. And the kids, just the joy that's on their faces when they come to Metro Detroit Youth Day. It has helped a lot of them to go on to be who they are today. one of the things that we started when American Idol, and everybody knows about American Idol. Well, when they started, one of my suggestions was, and we, through Mr. Deeb, he agreed to let us do it, Metro Detroit Idol contest. And we started having auditions for the young kids to come out. We have catapulted so many young people into different, and they started right here in Metro Detroit Youth Thing. One of them has gone, she was with us last Saturday, we had the last audition, and she was able to come by. And the young kids were so excited because she had just, she sang at the White House last week. She was singing at the White House with Kamala Harris and the Vice President, and she was there. Zoe Frazier, she was there. She has sung at Carnegie Hall, and she's traveling all over with the Fish University. She started right here in Metro Detroit Youth Day. One of the others that I highlight, and it's many, many, many. But Isaac Brown, he started. He came. He was 6 years old when he came with us. And he came, and he wanted to do Michael Jackson. And he had a lot of personality, charismatic young person. And he came, and he was on Youth Day, and when he went on. And so James Torrance and Eric Rearright, they work with me. And we go, and we don't just stop the kids. We don't just, it's just not one day, and you gone. We keep up with them, and we encourage them to do things. So we were able to get him on America's Got Talent. And from that, he went on to be, he had, his family had to move to Hollywood because he got a role as the Young West in How to Get Away with Murder. And he went on, and now he's on TV every night with Raven Simone as the son, Booker. And he has been. And he tells everybody, I got my start at Metro Detroit Youth Day. And that is so great. One of the young fellas, and he'll be there again this year, King Bethel. He sings everywhere, but he was last year when he was singing at Metro Detroit Youth Day, he sang the national anthem, and some of the scouts picked him up, and he now sings for the NFL all over for all the different teams. He sings the national anthem, and so all of that coming from Metro Detroit Youth Day, giving them the opportunity. So that's what I can say is that they have an opportunity when they come here. We allowed them to have an opportunity to do stuff. So thank you for asking that question.
In addition to what she just mentioned, we do give out college scholarships.
Absolutely.
And we, over the years, I think we've given out about 2,000 college scholarships to people to go to school who couldn't afford to pay for going to school.
That's right.
So with the help of her and the committee and so on, we've done something to keep the kids out of trouble and into the schools.
And we have 17 different colleges from all over, from Michigan State to Michigan, University of Michigan to, I mean, Grand Valley State. There's so many, I don't want to leave nobody out. But 17, got who? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Henry Ford is right there. Hey. Henry Ford is right there.
Absolutely.
And they give out goodies to the kids. And you know, everybody likes goodies, a goodie bag or something right. Or whatever. And so because of all of the colleges, and thank you very much, because of that, the kids are just excited to go down College Row. And as Mr. D just indicated, before the event actually starts, they have a ceremony where they give out the scholarships to the kids. And they have, what is the one that you're not graduating with the scholarship, but the other one is, what's the other?
Community service.
And you know, that plays a big role in young people when they're trying to get into college or whatever. What have you done in the community and whatever? And they can say, well, I came along and I got, and they got the little certificate. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
There's one other thing that happened with me that I did not expect it to happen. As a result of all this work that we did, they named a room after me at Michigan State University. And they decorated it with all kinds of things on there. And I'm very honored and proud of that. Now, I don't get to see it very often, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And, so all of us are working together to inspire the kids to do the most good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'll tell you, somebody that I know that does get to see that room very often, it's my son who graduated from Michigan State, go green, and works in the communication area in the public media department. So when I mentioned I was coming to chat with you today, he's like, you mean Mr. Ed Deeb of the Deeb conference room? And I'm like, the one and only.
Thank you for having us.
We love when good things continue to happen for good people who have put in the work and earned it. And the one word that I keep hearing, Barbara, you mentioned it a couple of times, is opportunity.
Yes.
Giving these kids an opportunity through a special day like Metro Detroit Youth Day, a scholarship. Right. Sometimes that can be the difference between long, healthy, happy experience, career, and the ability to give back to our community and not being able to do that. Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things I did not mention when I talked about the entertainment and stuff and whatever, just before the pandemic, we were able to bring Ice Cube here. And it was such a big hit. That's when he first started his big three basketball game stuff. And he came and he spoke to the children. He was very, I mean, people were just surprised how calm and sensitive. And he told them, he said, don't look for the easy way out. Look for the hard way. If you can do the hard stuff, then you can do anything. And he encouraged those young people. He got with them. He played basketball with them. It made a difference in the lives of those children that day. And we tried to have somebody come. I won't mention who it is, because when they don't show up, no one is here. But it is. It's just like that. And we have the all the different sports people come out. Lem Bonney for years, and people like that for years. They come. And they, it's just such an uplift for the young people to see people come out and take an interest in them.
Anything your station or you need for anything and sports or related to children, you let me and her know so that we can get you all the information that you need. It's an honor to be here and express that thing to you and the people that are watching. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Metro Detroit Youth Day. It is going to be a day to be remembered. This is not just something we celebrate in Metro Detroit, but we know that this event has received countless honors and proclamations, not just in Detroit, not just in Michigan, but truly in the U.S. of A. And what an example to other communities and other states who might need this kind of thing in their, you know, in their communities, being honored, from President George H.W. Bush, the Points of Light Foundation, awards and so on. So what you're doing is absolutely impacting our community, but we hope and believe that it's impacting people, you know, around the nation, probably even around the globe, because some of our Metro Detroit young people are maybe going to venture out and bring that spark, bring what they're learning at an event like this, and hopefully it will change other lives as well, just like you have done, Mr. Deeb and Dr. Johnson. We appreciate your time so much as well. I suppose the big question at this point is, do we have to sign up? Should we sign up? Do we show up? Is there
Show up. You personally.
Love to show up.
And we'll have some lunch for you, too.
Oh, well, that's quite wonderful. I appreciate that, and we'll love to do that. Do students, is there an age that you recommend for young people to come in? Like, is there a cutoff kind of a time frame in terms of how old someone should be to benefit most from this?
Years old, and it goes up till they graduate, but some of them come back and be a guidance for the kids, too. So.
Right.
If you register, you can register online. And if you don't, come on, and they have people there. Yeah. And you can register on site. So don't feel that if you haven't registered, oh, I'm not going to go, I didn't register. Come on anyway. Come on. We'd be happy to have you. Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And again, it's...
Thank you for inviting us. And anything else you need after we're gone, call us back.
Wonderful. It's very obvious to me why all of these great things are sort of hovering over such wonderful, bright shining lights of people. MetroDetroitYouthDay.org is the website to check out. MetroDetroitYouthDay.org. It's just as simple as that. Mr. Deeb, thank you. Continued success with this wonderful project. And Dr. Barbara, thank you as well for being here. It's just truly been my pleasure. And we wish this event, and we wish both of you, the entire group, continued success.
We appreciate it. Thank you so
much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. Coming up next, we're going to learn a little bit about some 4th of July snacks and treats. What's more patriotic than a red, white, and blue popsicle? Well, let's find out. Also, we're going to talk about teaching kids about voting this Independence Day weekend. Stay with us. More to come.
If you're 60 and retired, making ends meet, especially here at the supermarket, may be tough. BenefitsCheckup.org is a free website that helps you pay for food, medicine, and more. Visit BenefitsCheckup.org.
The Lisa Show is happening now.
It's happening now.
With Lisa Valentine Clark and Richie T. It's The Lisa Show.
Welcome to a special 4th of July edition of The Lisa Show. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark.
And I am Richie T.
Does it seem like your vote doesn't really affect the outcomes of elections? Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to find out why voting is absolutely crucial to our country's success.
And if you're looking for a different way to celebrate the 4th of July this year, I'm going to give you a few suggestions. That's coming up in your buzz about 15 minutes away.
What's more patriotic than red, white, and blue popsicles? Today, we're talking about snacks with Josh and Amy, 4th of July edition. Amy Bidell is our savory expert. Welcome, Amy.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I'm glad you're here. And Josh Bingham is our sweet expert. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm super excited. I feel like the 4th of July is a great opportunity to eat the best snacks. So I'm really excited to have you guys both here. First of all, the hard-hitting question. Do 4th of July snacks need to be red, white, and blue? What is your feeling on color-coordinating snacks or snacks based on color-coordinating? How do you feel?
I mean, of any holiday, I feel like this is a fun one to find. Well, here's my thing. So yeah. I feel like the colors are usually pretty artificial.
Right.
And so if you're going to go for that, I feel like this is a good holiday to do that. It's summertime. It's popsicles.
Yeah.
It's, you know, cupcakes with sprinkles, all of that good stuff.
Josh?
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, popsicles and things, great, red, white, and blue. If you're making actual food, unless it comes from nature, red, white, or blue. But I think that's okay, too, because there's a lot of really delicious berries that are in season in July. So, like, fresh blueberries, fresh raspberries, like,
yeah,
those are great. And you can easily incorporate those into your 4th of July snacking. And they seem patriotic.
Right. You seem like you love America more than your
exactly.
neighbor who does not eat red, white, and blue snacks.
Exactly.
So what are your favorite patriotic snacks for this holiday?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, as far as patriotic, to me, all I can think about for 4th of July is a pancake breakfast.
Oh.
Really?
That my dad does every single year. And so, I mean, it's. You know, I don't know what's more American than a pancake breakfast with eggs and bacon.
Right?
There you go.
So I feel like that's a necessity. It doesn't have red, white, and blue, but you could also always add some strawberries and blueberries and whipped cream.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
That's better than whipped cream.
Right. I love it. Josh, what about you? What do you look forward to the most for what you're going to eat on the 4th of July?
So when I was thinking about 4th of July, I was, of course, thinking of barbecues because I think this is the season that you – you know, go to your friend's house and you have the barbecue and you have the kids run around in the sprinklers and the parents sit around in the shade and drink cool beverages. And, you know, it's just, you wait until it's late to do the fireworks and all that kind of magical stuff. So I came up with some great barbecue recipes, things you can bring, to the barbecue. And as I'm looking at the list, all of them come from other countries. So none of them.
But isn't that very American, though?
That's true. That's
come true. With your seasoned meat and your fruits aplenty from different countries.
Well, and I stayed away from the meat category because I feel like there's always going to be some dude that's going to make the meat. So just, like, let him do that. Like, I don't need to.
Because we're talking about snacks.
Yeah, exactly. So, but one thing I love to do for the 4th of July or any summer barbecue is like a Mexican street corn, which is basically.
Oh, yes, that's on my list too.
Yes.
So it's basically corn that you either boil or you can cook on the grill, either way, whatever makes you happier. And then when I make it, I make a, like, kind of a sauce or a topping that I then roll the hot ears of corn in. And usually in that I put, mayonnaise, don't be scared. A little sour cream, some sort of Mexican cheese, like a queso fresco, or I like a cotija because it's a little saltier. Then you can put cayenne, garlic, lime juice, And then basically you cook the corn, pull the hot ears out, and roll them in that sauce.
Oh, so good.
And then you've got the cheesy, you've got the salty, you've got kind of that creamy from the mayo and the sour cream. And I was thinking today, if you were going somewhere where you weren't going to be able to cook the corn on site, like maybe, you know, maybe you're going on a picnic somewhere or the grill's small and they're going to, you know, the meat guy needs the grill, you could make all that ahead of time and then cut the corn off the cob and then just sort of like serve it as like a Mexican corn salad and maybe throw some fresh tomatoes in there or some avocado in there.
Oh my gosh, that sounds delightful.
That would be a delicious summer treat.
Maybe some crushed Fritos on the top. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I mean,
some hot Cheetos.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good escape for me. And now that my son has braces and can't eat corn on the cob,
we definitely
do it salad style. And I bring along cilantro for those who want to add cilantro. I know it's a very controversial herb, but to me, that is summer encapsulated. It's just delicious.
Oh, that's a great snack.
And Amy, you live in California, so you probably can get real actual Mexican street corn made by real actual people who are from Mexico. So this is probably
$1 or $2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I tried to hire a truck when he was two. Because I was like, this was his favorite food, the street corn. So
just to come sit in front of your house and make street corn?
Yeah. I mean, in our neighborhood, they have them all over the place. It's so yummy.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. See, that's a reason to celebrate America right there.
Right. It is. And listen, not only that, but one ingredient you neglected to mention that's in the actual street corn is parquet margarine. Don't forget that. Yeah. And so what they do, if you get it done completely, they slather on with a spatula, they slather on mayonnaise.
Okay.
And then cheese, they can put like Parmesan cheese, chili, lime, and then I don't know how they master this, but they do a swirl of parquet margarine up the side of it.
How does it stay on?
You eat it fast.
Yeah, yeah. The stakes are high.
That's beautiful.
I love it.
So delicious.
You guys just are the experts. This is why I'm so happy you're here. Okay, so I want to turn our attention a little bit to watermelon, which...
Oh.
No, I know, because everyone brings watermelon as a side, right?
Yeah.
For everything and for a snack. And I know that, like, all of my healthy friends will always be like, oh, if you want something sweet, just snack on watermelon. I don't get it. It doesn't taste like the artificial watermelon flavor. It just tastes like water to me. What is your stance on watermelon as a snack?
I am a fan, and this has been a big turnaround. We're going to get into my childhood trauma, guys.
Good. Let's get into it. This is why you're here.
That's right. And this would have been before I was 5 years old, and the neighbor brought over watermelon Jell-O. And I can remember vomiting and being traumatized. And so then I wouldn't eat watermelon. And I remember finally trying it, and it was so delicious and refreshing to me. So I'm actually a fan of watermelon. And I was just telling a friend yesterday, to me, it is an equivalent of sparkling water. It's so satisfying and thirst-quenching without being too sweet. So I'm actually a fan. Same with tomatoes. It has to be perfect.
Right.
It can't be a little underripe or a little overripe, or I will not touch it.
Okay. So maybe I'm just eating the wrong kind of watermelon. Josh, what's your take?
Well, I have a question for Amy. Amy, do you ever put tahini on your watermelon?
Oh, you better believe I do.
I know you put tahini on basically everything.
Should I be putting tahini?
On everything, including your sweet corn.
Tahini on any fresh fruit is delicious. I mean, it does take it kind of out of the sweet realm and into the savory realm. But I think Amy carries tahini in her purse at all times.
Don't make fun of me, but where do I buy it?
Just in the grocery store. Just like, it's usually in the produce section.
Okay.
Yep.
Or if it's
usually
not the
around
section,
the fruit.
It might be in like the Mexican food section. But it's just a little shake-on seasoning. I don't even know what's in it, like chili, lime. But anyway, you can sprinkle it on pineapple, on watermelon, on mango, on like any fruit, and it's going to be really good.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
Sprinkle it into Greek yogurt and make it into a dip for chips.
Oh, I haven't done that.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good on everything. I mean, I put it on pizza. I put it in soup. I put it on salads. You name it. Something else I've done with watermelon, Matt was not a fan, but I did watermelon with arugula and feta cheese. And
I thought
it was delicious. But he would just prefer to do tomato as the fruit instead of watermelon. He thought it was weird.
Oh, interesting.
The thing with watermelon for me is I think when we were kids, and this is me getting on my soapbox telling all the kids to get off my lawn, but
got it.
When we were kids, watermelon was better. And then, and now we're trying, no, for real. And now we're trying to make watermelon seedless and we're trying to do all these things to them to like make them like easier to eat and we're making them smaller. And I just think we've like gone too far in the watermelon genetic modification. I think like a big fat watermelon full of seeds that you had to spend all the time like cutting the seeds out was better, tasted better than like, the sort of anemic, sad little seedless watermelons you can buy now. So I think if you're going to eat watermelon, I think Amy's right. It has to be perfect. So you've got to find either like a local grower or a grocery store that's going to sell like a big, fat, seeded watermelon. They're always better with seeds than seedless. I think the seedless ones are kind of like pale pink and they just, yeah, they taste like crunchy water, and it's not that good. But
crunchy water.
Red.
Crunchy water. I love it. You know what? You probably have the best luck at an international market, is my guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
In L.A., we have stores called Vallarta that are specific to Mexican cuisine, and they have the best produce because you realize that Mexicans use a lot of different chilies, a lot of spices, and lots of fruits and vegetables. And so that's my favorite place to shop for that kind of thing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What about farmers markets across the country, which is, you know, summer's a great time for it.
Yeah. And I
have never bought melon in a farmer's market. I don't know.
Well, so I want to turn our attention then to other snacks, not just watermelon, that you just really want to eat, like at a party during the summer, specifically 4th of July.
Snow cones. My mom has a snow cone machine, and so that's become, and you know, in most American towns, you can find a snow cone place on every corner on the 4th of July, and I feel like that's patriotic and necessary.
I agree. One thing that I love to bring to a summer barbecue, you know, is a pavlova, which again is French. So
I love it. You're international. You're welcoming everyone to America. Yeah.
So if you haven't had a pavlova, what it is it's basically like a meringue. So it's egg whites and sugar kind of whipped together till it's stiff. And then you bake it in the oven at a really low temperature for a long time. So it's like 200 degrees for like 2 hours. And then you sort of crack the oven open and turn it off and just let the pavlova stay in the oven as the oven cools off and kind of dries out. So what you end up with is this big meringue that is kind of crispy and crunchy on the outside, but then the inside is that kind of gooey, marshmallowy meringue feeling.
So good.
And you can either make a big giant one and it looks amazing to present, or you can make like little individual ones. And then when you serve them, I always put whipped cream on first on top of the pavlova. And you can also, when you bake the pavlova, if you want to put nuts around the edge or something like that, you can, but you'll put whipped cream on top and then you do some sort of fresh berry sauce. So usually what I'll do is I will cut up strawberries and raspberries in a bowl. I'll take like a third of the strawberries and raspberries and puree them and just add some sugar and add the little lemon juice if I need to, and then stir those back in with the whole berries. So you kind of get this berry sauce, but none of it's cooked. So it's very, you know, it's very bright and flavorful. And then you kind of pour that on top of the pavlova and the whipped cream. And if you're doing a big pavlova, you do the same thing. You kind of put all the whipped cream on, pour all the berries on top, and then you kind of cut wedges out of it. But what's great about it is it looks amazing. It looks like a, like, cloud of heaven. And then, but it's, and it looks like a lot of food, but it really is like a lot of air. It's like whipped cream and it's egg whites that have been aerated. And so when you eat it, it doesn't feel, it's really sweet, but it's not rich necessarily. And it's not really heavy. It's not eating like a big cake or a big pudding or something that's going to kind of sit there. It's kind of sweet. You get that fresh berry flavor. And so it's a great finish to a meal where you've eaten a lot of like potato salad and red meat and, you know, just really heavy things. It's this really light, refreshing dessert that you can kind of enjoy that isn't going to weigh you down.
Oh, my gosh. That's
my favorite thing
amazing.
About doing this is yeah? that I say, go buy a snow cone. And Josh.
Right? You're like, well, if I want a snack, I'll buy a snow cone. And Josh will make, like, a pavlova that takes hours just to
Totally.
That's why you guys are the best team to talk about snacks. You are a team.
I love a snow cone, too. I love a good snow cone.
So I thought, so somebody in the middle, somebody yeah. who is like, you know what, I'm not just going to buy a snow cone, and someone who's like, but I am too intimidated to bake my first pavlova, try this.
Okay.
Buy some red, white, and blue sprinkles. Take an ice cream sandwich and just dip the exposed sides in the red, white, and blue sprinkles.
Boom.
Done.
Amazing.
That is amazing. Oh, my gosh. Well, you guys are patriotic. Thank you for helping to love America the way that I do through food. We've been talking with Josh Bingham and Amy Bidell talking about snacks. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
How do you teach your kids about the importance of voting in elections? That's coming up in about 5 minutes.
New ways to celebrate your 4th of July. Suggestions? They're on their way. Coming up in your buzz, you're listening to The Lisa Show.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of housing discrimination.
It's so wrong.
But who has the power to stop this?
You do. The law is on your side. If you've been discriminated against because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status, file a complaint with HUD. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
Visit HUD.gov/fairhousing. A public service message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Listening to The Lisa Show. Are you tired of the same old barbecue and fireworks every year? In 20 minutes, we're going to give you some new ideas for celebrating Independence Day. But first, we've got your buzz with Richie T.
That's right. Normally, it is three things that are trending online, but today I wanted to give you a bunch of suggestions about how you might be able to celebrate the 4th of July. Well, just a little bit different than maybe you've done it before. Some of these are right on the nose, so I'll go through those pretty quick.
Okay.
How about like red, white, and blue table seatings, right? Mm-hmm. So like that could be the picnic. Whatever.
Yeah.
You could also do blue plates or white plates or red plates, right, as far as that goes. But now let's get a little bit more creative than all that. How about, you know that likely you're going to have some sort of cold beverage on the 4th of July?
It's like it's hot.
You get yourself some water balloons, red, white, and blue water balloons, freeze
yes.
them in the freezer, and then use them to cool down your drinks. And then when they're done cooling down your drinks and they have thawed out, water balloon fight.
What a great idea. The only caution I would say is, mm-hmm. is if you have particularly anxious kids who will jump the gun, don't let them throw frozen balloons, water balloons at each other. It's like a snowball fight, but with ice, it could get dangerous.
Yeah. Real dangerous.
So
real
just,
quick.
You know, watch the cooler.
How about a flag placemat? You know, you're doing the picnic or the dinner at home or whatever. You can set it out on that. How about we could do something like you could tie up plates and utensils, right?
Okay.
You can use some sort of patriotic theme as you do that. How about, we think about this for New Year's, but how about a USA headband?
How about
instead of 2021 across we could do USA or America or whatever you wanted to have it say across
like
your headband.
Ideas.
It's a great way to celebrate the 4th of July. How about we go old school? You hear people talk about it. Sometimes it's the butt of a joke.
People talk about it.
But a potato sack race.
Oh, you know what? There's something really sweet about doing those games. And there's a reason why they're classics, right? Because everybody can, participate. I like that. Different ages.
How about this? You could take a red, a white, or a blue bandana, and you could make a bandana flower pot.
Oh.
I'm not sure the connection completely, aside from the colors.
Tie it around.
But Well, you can actually, like, hodgepodge it onto the side of your flower pot. That way you have some great
decorations. That's a great idea.
How about you find a vintage tin and you make that as your centerpiece, right? That's kind of like old America. What about things like you can also do, I can't believe it's taken me this long to talk about it.
What?
Something food-oriented.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Where have you been?
So you can make, you know how you can make, like, devil's food cake, and you can make, like, your yellow cake or those kind of things, right? How about a red velvet cake whoopie pie? And you make, instead of the cream just being white on the inside, it's also blue as well. Or you could make it blue on the outside
that's
and red and white on the inside.
Great
a delicious,
idea.
Delicious yes. treat. How about, because in lots of places in the United States undergoing a drought right now, and typically the 4th of July signifies some sort of fireworks celebration, this may not be for all, but you just play the noise of fireworks really loud.
Scare your dogs and cats.
Yeah. But
small children.
You're in control and you can turn it down. You don't get that stinky smell.
Funny.
You don't have the idea that that you might start something on fire, certainly as we're trying to be safe. Additionally, there are lots of, and this is so 2021, I can't handle it. Ways that you can just stream other people doing fireworks and be able to witness it and
why
be
not?
Able to, yeah, well, I mean, there are some pretty, like, I'm thinking of the one around the Opera House in Sydney, Australia. Like, that's an amazing fireworks display, right? I don't think that it happens on the 4th of July because they don't celebrate the same holiday as we do.
Yeah.
Put that on your YouTube.
There
stream
you go.
That to your screen.
Why not?
There's a bunch of ideas for how you can celebrate the 4th of July different this year. And that's your buzz.
Thanks, Richie T.
Sunday morning's got you feeling down, and it's not even Monday yet. Well, here's a prescription to listen to the Play It By Ear Jazz Show from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. I'm going to give you a heavy dose of bebop with boosters of funk, fusion, big band, and the cutting edge. That's every Sunday from 10 a.m. until 1, right here on the only station making waves, WHFR.FM 89.3 from Henry Ford College.
Looking at the devil.
Politics can often be an unpleasant topic of discussion. With all the political noise, it can be hard to know where to begin when talking with our kids about the importance of voting. Thankfully, we have Barbara Gruner with us today to help us hone in on the important value of citizenship. Now, Barbara's worked as an educator for 36 years, is a nationally recognized school counselor, speaker, and character coach. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you for that kind introduction. I am so excited to be with you both this morning.
I'm glad that you're here because this is something that I think, I'm going to be just fine talking about politics with my kids. I'm going to be open, I'm engaged, I'm informed. And then when it comes down to it, it's hard because it can get very heated and intense. Just not even just which side or what do you believe, but even just what you have to talk about in today's political landscape. So what are the most important things that we should teach our kids about voting, especially in this time of political tension?
Well, I think it's really important that nothing is off the table. You know, we got to talk about it.
Okay.
When we start to stuff issues down, they come out later, behaviorally, emotionally, physically. We got to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. So should we talk in terms of, let's see, broad terms and ideas or get
controversy.
Specific?
Go right to the controversy.
I mean, really, though?
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. So developmentally, our kids are ready for different things. So it kind of depends on what grades you're talking about. If you're with a five-year-old, you can read Duck for President, and it's hilarious, and it's starts to open up the conversation. But if you're with a teenager who's about to take his or her voting rights to the polls, it probably needs to go a little bit deeper and wider.
So how do you talk about politics with your kids, knowing that, especially like when you're talking about a teenager? And I've had this experience with a couple of my kids where, okay, they're getting ready to vote for the first time, and I start listening to them, and I want to argue. I want to go, yeah, but have you considered? How do you frame it or even bring it up in a way that is engaging to a real conversation and not just a lecture?
I like the second way you said it, have you considered versus yeah, but, because as soon as we throw the but in there,
yeah,
it shuts down everything they were thinking. And really, voting is just about giving people a voice and hearing them and seeing them and letting them know that they matter. And here's the deal. Mm. You may not get what you wanted, but you made sure that your voice was heard. It's about the process as much as it is about the outcome.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it.
You know, there's so much that goes into voting, whether between like the research of the candidates, finding out more about what you're going to even be voting on. Mm-hmm. Do you take your kids along that discovery journey for yourself, depending on the age, or do you just, are we just sort of having the discussion around the voting itself, or how I guess what I'm really asking, let me take it bigger picture, how involved do we get them in our own process of deciding who to vote for?
Oh, that's such a great question. Because my own children, who are all voting age now, aren't necessarily in line with their father and me, but that's okay. What they have to know is that they need to make informed decisions based on the research, exactly like what you said. So I'm not going to the polls just to vote.
Right.
And I'm not going to, like, I've got a certain political party in mind, and so I'm just going to do, you know, I need due diligence. Mm-hmm. I'm not just mm-hmm. going through the motions. And the model is the most important, so they see us doing that. We took our kids with us to the polls. Now, you have to look into your state's restrictions, because
right.
your state may or may not want your five-year-old along with you. So the age and the number of kids is really up to the state. But it was a chance for them to see democracy in action and to know again that their voice matters, to make it tangible for them and to understand that they have a place in our world.
I always think about how I can prepare my kids for the unknown, right? When they leave my house, right? You know, there's
yeah,
things.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
If you want to see someone in their life pushing a boulder up a hill, Babs,
oh my gosh.
I just want you to see Lisa. That's
well, and let me clarify.
Yes.
But
I
feel that there's so much that we try to prepare our kids for, and we can't, right? I mean, that's the beauty and the angst of parenthood, right? But I feel like that some people do a better job than others of preparing their kids for, like, say, potentially polarizing, political discussions or a world than others. What do those parents who are really preparing their kids to expect that doing that others aren't?
You know, knowledge is power. And so not like power, like I'm going to lord over you, but empowerment, right? We need to equip our future so that they can make it better. So my best definition of citizenship is making wherever you go better, right? So
yeah.
Tomorrow you have a chance to be better than you were today. And so you're equipping them with the knowledge and the skill set, right, to yeah. embrace the power or the power isn't probably the right word, but to equip them with what they need to make informed decisions when they get to the polls. Mm.
You know, I think about the time actually in the last presidential election where I went to the polling place,
mm-hmm.
and while I was there, we didn't plan this, but my father and I vote at the same polling place, and there was, though he never though he never said it out loud, you could tell there was a particular amount of pride that my dad had
yeah.
that I was making the time to go and vote that day. Unspoken pride of a parent.
even at this age.
Yes. Which,
I like that.
I mean, to be fair, I'm only 17 years old.
Okay.
Just teasing. I'm kidding. Now, we're talking with Barbara Gruner about teaching our kids about voting. Is this something that we can sort of exemplify within our own home, like having a mock election? Do you recommend things like that? Like, we're going to vote for dinner, and we have, you know, lasagna is one thing we could vote for.
And you campaign and for it, yeah. And you make posters, you mean, and do speeches and debates?
Exactly. Is that a thing that we could do?
Sounds like a lot of work.
No, that's absolutely a thing that you can do, because the earlier you start, the better. Here's the chore challenge. Which chore do you want today? You know, sometimes you vote, sometimes you can't agree, so you agree to disagree and you do paper, rock, scissors. There's all sorts of ways to show kids that their voice matters. In school, we would do mock elections, absolutely. Mm. And then we do real elections too, right? Student council. Not a big fan of excluding kids through the student council vote, but that's just one example of ways that we help kids understand that leaders sometimes need to be selected, even though everybody can be a leader, but certain leadership positions need to be selected. And so we have this process by which we hear your voice and let you vote.
Like a lot of parents, I am increasingly concerned with just the way that we're able to talk about politics and issues and candidates in a respectful, knowledgeable manner. Are there things that we can do in our home that can help our kids be more empathetic to an opposing view?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't like to have the news on much, but when the news is on, or even a story, whether it's on the TV, in a movie, on YouTube, when we're watching other people, we can stop and say, oh, how is that person feeling? What do they want? What do they need? Let's look at their body language. Let's listen to their tone. Let's step into their story for a little while. And you can take that all the way to, what if you were in that role? What would you want? Mm. What would you need? What would you be feeling? Empathy, according to Brené Brown and experts like her, is all about the feelings, the emotions that underpin the experience. So really stepping into their stories and saying, if I were you, I imagine this is what I might need, this is what I might be feeling, and this is what I might want from you as you empathize with me.
What do statistics tell us about kids voting? Are more kids voting now? The younger? Are we training younger voters, or is that not the case?
Wow, that's such a great question. We don't have terrific voter turnout when you look at the big picture and all of the numbers.
Yeah.
But we can only go up, right? So we need to increase that, and we need to help kids understand that they're never going to change things if they don't talk about it and then make some action toward doing it.
Now, you've had such a great career and so much experience as an educator, so I'm sure you have been a fly on the wall, right, to a lot of different parent-kid interactions, meetings from educators. Using all of that knowledge, what do you think is a trend that maybe is either alarming or something that you would like to warn us against doing so that we can change the way that we're talking about citizenship and voting?
Well, it's so interesting because when we have our elections, our mock elections, we totally hear our parents' voices in our kids' words. Yeah. And so my big thing is, like, what are we modeling? Like, we don't have to like the president in order to respect the role of the president. So dogging whoever got into office, especially if it wasn't your candidate, is just counterproductive because the kids are listening. They're always listening.
They're always
listening. They're taking our lead. They're doing exactly, you know, our kids are going to only be as okay as we're okay. So if we're ranting and disrespecting and throwing profanity because we didn't get our way, guess what they're going to be doing?
Yeah, that modeling. Ugh. It's exhausting. Well, no, I'm just pausing only because I'm one of those people that yells at the news. You know, like I talk back and I go, "What do you mean? What? Where's your, you know, study? What is this based on?"
Have you caught your kids doing that same thing, Lisa?
Not yet. I want to course correct. How about that? If I can be honest.
Good thing is you can start over tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wait, today it's early.
Yeah.
Well, we've got an election coming up. I got to get ready.
It's so exciting though when we see our kids. And really just people in general really invest in the right and the responsibility of voting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times when you see on an election day, whether it's a primary or a general election day, there is that unique feeling of having that I voted sticker.
Yeah.
That lets you know, that signifies, hey, you know what, this is important
to me.
Taking
a picture, a selfie, putting it on social media. Yeah, we do it because it feels good.
No question. And another thing that you can kind of do is one of the most effective things that they did with my fifth grader way back when, they actually allowed them to do a sit-in, to just stage a sit-in for something they believed in, to try to sway the leaders. You know, all of a sudden the kids are trying to sway the grown-ups when we should let the kids lead a little bit more. Hmm. And Jacobs was basically campaigning for a Mindful Monday, and he really thought that if they could get workout clothes and extra recess on Mondays, they would be more productive. And when I tell you that was one of the most meaningful things, like you suggested, Lisa, the posters and the campaigns, that's what they let those fifth graders do. And it took such a turn in his educational career when he felt like the principal actually listened to him again, that voice piece, giving those child, empowering them with voice.
I love that. And whether it's, you know, in those examples, like you say, within our child's classroom, within the walls of our own home, or if it's on the, you know, city, state, or federal level that we're able to have that voice be heard, it's a valuable addition and a right and a privilege that we have. Lisa, stop yelling at the television.
I'll try. Okay.
Starting today.
I love that you called it a responsibility, too, because it's a call to action, right? We can't sit home and complain about it
You got to go do it
ourselves to change it. Mm-hmm.
And we want to teach our kids that.
It's why I vote, because I really like to complain. So
I go vote.
And then I go, I just gave myself the right to complain.
Yeah.
Barbara Gruner, I call her Babs. You call her Barbara, all right? She is a school counselor, a speaker, and she has 36 years of experience working as an educator. You can find more on her blog if you go to corneroncharacter.blogspot.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at Barbara Gruner. I'll spell it Gruener. Thanks for being with us.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going to talk about some new ways to celebrate the 4th of July that may inspire some new family traditions.
You are listening to The Lisa Show.
Considering a career as a social worker, mental health technician, or counselor? If so, check out the Social Work and Counseling Technician program at Henry Ford College. You can earn your associate in applied science degree through HFC's School of Health and Human Services. For more information, contact our Learning Success Center at 313-845-9750. That's 313-845-9750.
I'm Amy Brown, Executive Director of the NOAA Project. Our mission is to empower low-income and homeless Detroiters to achieve stability by serving as the first step on the journey to self-sufficiency. We invite you to partner with us by visiting our website, noaaprojectdetroit.org. Our bag lunch, which feeds over 500 participants weekly, is what brings people in the door. And then we work with them to address other issues such as housing, food, and transportation through one-on-one case management. We welcome you to be part of NOAA by helping serve lunches or collecting basic needs items such as gloves, hats, underwear, or socks. Please like us on Facebook, visit our website, noaaprojectdetroit.org, or email us at info@noaaprojectdetroit to learn more.
My love is strong. You really gotta hold on, man.
The Jack Benny Program.
The secret word is street. S-T-R-E-E-T.
Riley?
You bet your life.
It's the theater of the mind. Whether your taste is comedy or mystery, we've got you totally covered here at WHFR. Check out Radio Vault Tuesdays from 10 in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Or if you like mysteries, and who doesn't, it's WHFR Sunday Night Mysteries from 9 o'clock until midnight on Sunday nights. It happens right here on the station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
Discover a new level of taste at the 5101 restaurant on the campus of Henry Ford College.
Located at 5101 Evergreen Road, dining at the 5101 puts you at the center of a wonderful dining experience that also serves as a learning experience for the students in the culinary arts program here at HFC. The menu includes beef, lamb, veal, chicken, and turkey, which are halal certified and sourced from Saad Wholesale Meats. Local and seasonal produce items are also used when available. The 5101 restaurant is open for lunch on Thursdays during the spring and summer semesters and open for lunch Tuesday through Thursday during the fall and winter semesters. Additionally, dinner is offered on Wednesday nights during the fall and winter semesters. Find the current menu, information about carryout orders, and hours of operation at hfcc.edu/5101 or call 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. 5101.
Discover a new level of taste at the 5101 restaurant.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
South of Memphis, Tennessee.